Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
We've killed off a couple of people this morning unnecessarily. Rodney Rogers, still alive and well at 50 years old. Oh, Rodney Rogers from Wake Forest. He is alive. I must have gotten him confused with Mr. Rogers. And it was not the PSINet CEO that committed suicide. My friend texted me back and said, I messed that one up. He didn't say I messed that one up. He used a more descriptive term. It was the WorldCom guy that committed suicide. There was some of that going on. But both, I guess, the original PSINet CEO and Rodney Rogers, hopefully not only alive, but doing well and are healthy. That would be nice to know. Alive and well is Michael Phillips, who covers the team, of course, for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, at Michael P. RTD on Twitter. You know, it's funny, you and I have exchanged text messages, but I don't think I've talked to you in a while. And I want to just start with this, and that is, we are now through the, you know, the significant majority. There could be an addition or two to the roster between now and training camp. But overall, what kind of grade do you give the team for its off season?
You know, I can't downgrade them too much because I think they got better at the positions that were most important, you know, obviously quarterback and wide receiver on offense. So I think they did what they needed to do on that side of the ball. I think I'm disappointed there's not more depth in the secondary, and obviously middle linebacker, which I'm sure we'll discuss, continues to be a major potential issue depending on how they play this year. So I think offensively it was a very strong offseason, and they did what they needed to do to be competitive. And I think defensively, you know, they shoveled a lot on that line, on that front four or front five, depending on how you play it. And I think they will shoulder a vast majority of this upcoming season.
I mean, you were among the people, and you weren't the only one, who were believer. You were a believer in Taylor Heinicke. And, you know, after that, you know, performance against Tampa Bay at the end of 2020 in the playoffs, and, you know, there were certainly some solid performances last year. I think he proved himself to be a solid mid to high-end backup. That's my opinion. Who knows? Maybe he'll get another opportunity, maybe even this year. But ultimately, I know you were a fan of his, so I'd ask you, how much do you think they upgraded with Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I think it's substantial. And yeah, I love that he's still on the team. I love that he's in that backup role. I think he's handled it really well this offseason too, which is to say, the teammates clearly like him and respond to him, but he's not out there. And sometimes you get the backups, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to be a starter in this league again. Like, you know, I'm just waiting my turn, you know, creating a little friction. He has fully embraced the role. Carson Wentz is number one. I'm number two. I'm going to show up, work hard. We'll see what happens. I think, you know, it's a fascinating thing where, look, last season, he was very underwhelming at times. You know, had his moments too, certainly, as you know, charter member of the fan club. I have to point that out. But to come out of that season and still have everybody in the locker room say, I like that guy, I want him on my team, like, he's bringing something to the table, which I think is cool. And I'm glad he's still there. And obviously, we'll see what Sam Howell, you know, is or becomes over the course of the next year. It'll be a three-quarterback room. But look, they're better. And I think the thing I keep saying about Carson Wentz is he's going to really benefit from the expectations in Washington. You know, he got hurt by that in Indianapolis. You look at Indy's quarterback room. It was Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck to, you know, Philip Rivers to, you know, on and on and on. And now even Matt Ryan coming in, like, they were grading him on that standard. This is what an Indianapolis Colts quarterback looks like. If we grade him on a standard of what a Washington football quarterback looks like, he's going to clear the bar, Kevin.
He is, but do you think that that's really the bar that's been set for him? I have this expectation that at least, you know, I don't want to say the majority, because I think we get carried away with what Twitter really represents, what social media really represents, and I think it's a fraction. I think it's a smaller piece. But I think there is some, you know, optimism, because look, as Washington fans, what did we think of Carson Wentz as a Philadelphia Eagle quarterback in 2016 and 2017? We thought they nailed it. We thought they got it right. We thought he was going to be a problem for years to come. So I understand that that bar relative to what they've had here since Kirk is an easy one, or should be an easy one to clear. But you think that's what the bar is with most? Or do you think, or I kind of sense that it's higher?
Well, I think it's a winning and losing bar more than it's a his play.
That's fair.
Bar. And I just think, you know, and last week, you know, did little to dissuade me that this is a team set up for success, scheduling wise, personnel wise, continuity wise. There is the expectation of success here this year. And by that, I just mean making the playoffs. I think that, you know, if you were to pull everybody, not just the social media crew, but everybody, they'd say, yeah, this is a team that needs to take a step forward, be playing a wild card weekend this year. That seems to be the expectation coming in. I don't think Ron's running away from that either. And so you say this, if the offense is the reason they don't make it to the playoffs, that's on Carson. He's never going to be an NFL quarterback again. That's strike three. He's out. But if Carson even does fine to good, if this offense finishes the season ranked, you know, how many teams make the playoffs now? 14 teams make the playoffs, and I think, yeah, 14. If they finished ranked 14th in the league in offense, or 15th or 16th, just hovering right around the middle, you know, they're either going to make the playoffs on the strength of the defense or they're not. And if they don't, I think the blame would fall on the defense at that point and not the quarterback.
We're talking to Michael Phillips. You know, I feel this way every single time I talk to you, that I end up going in different directions, which is fine. you said a couple of things here, and it makes me think about kind of what everybody thinks, you know, in the fan base. You said at one point, you said they're better, and that the winning, you know, the winning and the losing is really the bar for Wentz. And what's interesting about that is when the season ended, I think, well, this is what I thought. I don't know what you thought. I thought, boy, man, you know, Rivera started to talk about year three, but from my standpoint, my expectations are much lower than they were a year ago, because the defense was dominant that year, and we know the quarterbacks they faced in 2020. They won a division. We understand what the division was that year. They played Tampa competitively, not as competitively as New Orleans and Green Bay did, but that, you know, the narrative on that game and what Washington was and what Taylor Heinicke was out of control. And I thought that the expectations going into last year was, this is a playoff team, especially now that they get, you know, a veteran quarterback coming off the two best years of his career and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that this year, following last season, the expectations aren't very high at all. But I think you're right to a certain degree. I think this offseason, at least in the minds of many in the fan base, has raised the bar a little bit. But I would also suggest to you that the coaching staff, both Rivera and Del Rio, have something to do with that.
Oh, no question. No question they are leaning into this and they are participating in this. And I think we spend a lot of time talking about Carson Wentz, and we will all season, and that's obviously part of the gig. But to me, the 2022 Washington Commanders season is a referendum on the defense. I think it just is, and it has to be. Can they get back to that dominant form? You look at the investments that have been made and will be asked to be made over the next few years. on that unit, all the first-round picks, all the money spent, all the coaching knowledge brought in the form of Rivera and Del Rio, you know, in two of the most prominent positions on the staff. If they can't get the defense right this year, I just don't think anything else matters.
Yeah. I've said many times, like, just taking a step back, and I'm not talking about the 10,000 foot view, which includes first and foremost the owner. You know, putting just the focus on the football operation. This season is about the defense and Carson Wentz, period. They made a move. It may have been a panicked move, but they've got to live by the move they made, and he's got to deliver. You know, and as you described, it's really, he's got to deliver with an offense that's top half of the league, and it results in more wins than losses. And that, you know, you just called it a 2022 referendum on the defense. And I think that's true too. Now, with that said, you know, there are questions about the defense. They let two defensive tackles walk. They replaced the two defensive tackles with one defensive tackle who was, at least according to many, overdrafted in the second round. And we don't have any answers at linebacker right now other than Cole Holcomb. And there's still some question marks about the secondary. So if this is a referendum on the defense in 2022, what do you think the result will be?
I have huge concerns at that linebacker position, and they don't involve Cole Holcomb specifically. I think he's, you know, kind of become the fall guy a little bit in this, and may take fans' ire. But look, he's a solid he's an NFL replacement level player, right? You know, he's good enough to be in the league, and he's good enough to earn his spot. But then, you know, you've got Ron saying at the start of the offseason, we got to go find a linebacker. Correct, by the way, he did. And then you've got Ron in, you know, whenever the league meetings were, saying, we watched the tape and it's Cole Holcomb. We love Cole Holcomb. And you just know Ron was watching tape before the off season too. Like, this wasn't the first time he popped the tape on the VCR here. Ron's talking himself into it at this point, and it's an issue, I think, Kevin.
Yeah, Ben and I were talking the other day standing, and I forget if it was on the air or off the air, but it's like, you know, I'm not super critical of this because I think you get this with a lot of coaches, you know, but there's a lot of double talk with Ron, you know, starting with, you know, last year, hey, you know, we're not focused on the quarterback yet. You know, we're building this from, you know, the inside out. It's the, you know, the lines and getting the pieces in place. Then we'll go get the quarterback. And then we found out they offered a first and a third or whatever it was to Detroit for Matt Stafford. You know, it was the taller quarterback, and yet they traded for Russell Wilson and drafted Sam. They attempted to trade for Russell Wilson, and they drafted Sam Howell. Look, Carson Wentz is a big, strapping dude. I understand that. Either we could do that for hours, and we could probably do that with a lot of coaches as well. What do you think he believes, though, as it relates to the defense? Do you think there's alarm right now about, you know, the back seven?
You know, and I wonder if Ron's not talking himself into it as much as he's talking us into it. You know, this is for both audiences here, both internal and external, of hey, we got this going, don't worry about this. You know, I don't know what to think either at the cornerback position. You know, I'm just not sure they're deep enough. They're, you know, and obviously we're waiting to see at safety. There's ways you can scheme around that, but certainly the way the unit started last year should be of concern to everybody. You know, the secondary didn't gel. The front four didn't gel. They didn't play together. They didn't create, you know, disruptive pressure. And, you know, they were not on the same page. I think that's where you say, and look, he had the opportunity. He could have gone a different direction, defensive coordinator, if he wanted to, if he felt like that was part of the issue. But he's sticking with Jack Del Rio, and Jack Del Rio certainly has a long track record of NFL success to the extent that you would say he's a guy who is capable of getting this done. But, you know, you're talking a big game here, you know, and certainly personnel wise, it's a big game. If you're talking about this being a playoff unit in a tougher division, than it's been. I don't know that it's a given that they make that step forward. And that's why, like, I'm much more confident. Well, let's reframe this. I'm much more confident in the offense playing at a wild card caliber level than I am the defense, because I think there's a floor there for the defense that's a little bit scary.
And that really sums up the NFL in a nutshell. Last year, we were so confident about the defense, and that would be the leader. That would lead the way towards a potential 10-win season and a playoff berth. And this year, you know, just less than 12 months later, it's the offense that we're feeling more confident in. In fact, you know, it's funny because this time last year, you know, many thought that this was an elite defense. I thought it could certainly take the next step. We knew the quarterbacks they were facing, which was going to be a challenge, but that at the end of the year, we'd feel even better about the defense, even if the results weren't the same. And now you can make the case that on paper, anyway, it's the worst defense in the division. You could make that case. The Dallas, Philadelphia are certainly better on paper defensively than Washington, and the Giants have a chance to be as good defensively. That's the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. Just wait a couple of months or a year, and things can change dramatically. It doesn't mean that front four, right, Michael, won't take over, and Chase Young and Montez Sweat will have major breakout seasons in this season, and that John Allen will continue on the path that he's continued on, and Phil Mathis and Daron Payne will be part of a great rotation. But there are question marks defensively, so do you think that they add a linebacker between now and training camp? And if so, give me a couple of names.
Well, I think they have to, and I'll go ahead and duck the name question because, man, every time, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Carson Wentz, you know, those guys, my radar doesn't work when it comes to these free agent guys. But I think this salary cap thing, whether it's self-imposed or real, look, they can get around it if they want to get around it. We all know that. But it seems to be at least self-imposed to a degree. I think what Ron wants is a veteran middle linebacker who will come in and play on that veteran exemption where, you know, you don't have to take the full cap hit for their veteran salary. I think that's what he's eyeing. I don't think he wants more kids. I think he wants, you know, more veteran guys. And look, there have been a couple of big names, obviously, have come around this offseason that have not ended up here, and who knows why. That's certainly, we're back to the 10,000-foot question there. But I do think it's clear Ron wants one, and I don't think he wants a kid either. I think he wants somebody that knows how to win NFL games, because I think he sees that as a really key cog of what he does in an area where they're very vulnerable right now.
You know, there's been no news, right, Brendan, on James Bradberry at this point. He's still out there. There's been no leading candidate at this point. Am I right about that to both of you?
I haven't seen any updates, yeah.
You know, I think Ben told us the other day, and maybe even John told us the other day, that maybe Washington's sort of lurking and waiting to see where the price goes. Do you agree with that, that there is interest from the team, but they're waiting to see if they can get him for their number?
Yeah, and I would certainly note that every signing this offseason has not come with a big upfront check. Make of that what you will. You know, and Ben and I talked about that on his stuff the other day. This is an organization right now that's not laying out big upfront money. And, you know, is that part of the strategy? Is that something else? Is that, you know, you can even go to, is that Dan having leveraged himself to buy out the other owners? Is that a directive? Ron denies that, of course. Why has there not been that big splash? Because even Carson Wentz, they didn't restructure. They didn't convert anything to immediate payment. You wonder if there's going to be, even a Bradberry's going to come with a pretty sizable upfront hit to ensure the salary cap, you know, will work for you the rest of the way. So, yeah, and look, part of this is just it appears to be their negotiating approach. You remember Jonathan Allen, he was convinced nothing was going to get done because nothing got done for the longest time. Terry McLaurin, nothing's been getting done for the longest time here. This appears to be this team's strategy is a wait until the last second. And J.D. McKissick, shoot, I mean, toss him on the pile too. This is not a team that appears to be proactive in going out there and making things happen contractually.
Did you follow the whole, we're talking to Michael Phillips, of course, from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Did you follow the Jack Del Rio comments from a week and a half ago with Julie where he used as a reason for the pass defense issues last year that some DBs were not committed to sort of the offseason? And Ben reported that that was more of a phase two thing, not an OTAs and minicamp thing. Did you follow that, and what did you think of that, and do we know who the players were that weren't really committed in Jack's eyes?
I mean, I don't know. I know who wasn't there when we were there, and obviously that was Chase Young and Montez right. Sweat, you know, and hey, they're back this year. So, you know, when he says things are better this year, you wonder if that means, you know, he's getting more buy-in from those guys this year. I always feel like, I know the offseason keeps shrinking, but I always feel like that's such an excuse, because you got three whole preseason games. You got 6 weeks of workouts coming into it. And I know it's less than they used to have back in the good old days in Carlisle, or with 19 preseason games, or, you know, whatever the black and white film shows. And look, he was around for that. So I'm sure they are disappointed by that every year, the amount of time they go with the players. I find it very hard to believe they don't have enough time with the players, that is a legitimate excuse when week four of a football season begins and you're still not on the same page.
All right. Wrapping this up with Michael Phillips, you talked a lot about Wentz and the expectations, and the winning, losing really is a big part of it, and then the referendum on the defense. So overall, right now, on May 18th, and, you know, we're sitting here, you know, basically just a little bit less than 4 months away from one game in, do you think this is a playoff team going into next season or not?
I do. I think the schedule breaks for it. I think the offense is good enough. And I mean, just, you know, I'm a glass half full guy, Kevin. That's all I do. You know, just spread sunshine everywhere I go. I think the defense has taken a step forward. I think they have to. It's hard for me to bet on another year of regression, knowing the talent of both player and coach in that building that they've brought in. It just feels like it would be hard for them to be that bad a second consecutive time.
Thank you, as always. Good to catch up. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
Michael Phillips, everybody, from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, at Michael PRTD. I actually think there's an interesting conversation to have, and Michael sort of spelled it out. By the way, when we come back, I'm going to give you a couple of things that indicate that Washington's defense, remember the expectations going into last year? Not the same expectations going into this year. But more broadly, big picture, which area of the team concerns you more going into 2022? The offense or the defense? Maybe the flip side, flipping it around, is a better way to ask it. Which area, offense or defense, are you most confident in? Do you feel better about the defense or the offense? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our Valor Home listener lines are open. Last year, we felt much better about the defense going into the season. This year, which side of the ball do you feel most confident in? The offense or the defense? Why or why not? Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. I want to tell you about BetMGM first. BetMGM right now with a great opportunity. They are unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem. 1-800-522-4700.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.